Reading now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Nehemiah. You guys know where that is? Nehemiah, a little bit before Psalms, okay? We're going to start in chapter 1. We're going to go through the first 11 verses. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'll go ahead and read that for us. It says this. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital of Persia, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which he has sinned against you, I and my father's house. Have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there, and I will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are your servants, your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today, and grant him compassion before the man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. Pastor Benny will come out and give our message today.
Good morning. Before I go through the message, may I first of all, am I on? Okay, good. May I first of all draw your attention to the seminar coming up next Sunday. If you look at number 8 under what's coming up section, why the sovereign Lord, why the sovereign God welcomes our petitions, deepening our doctrine of providence. In theology, we have heard of the providence of God and the will of man. How can we reconcile the two? Let me use an illustration. For example, you know, if you come in this morning and you had trouble finding parking, and you pray, God, give me a parking space. And you could not find any, and you continue to pray, and lo and behold, you found a wonderful spot right in front of the worship center. A $5 million parking space. And is it because of your prayer, or is it because of the providence of God? This seminar is designed to help us to reconcile the two. Both are taught in Scripture. So take advantage of this opportunity to learn together on this important subject. Every fall, we review our mission and vision statement. So we're going to do this together. Uh, FCBC exists to carry out the Great Commission to make right. How about the next part of the statement? FCBC will be a community of reproducing disciples who have the following characteristics. Number one, obey God's word to actively love the Lord. And then second, seek the lost through three things: local evangelism, church planting, and global missions. Now, if you remember the words in red, you pretty much capture the essence of the entire statement. Obey God's word to actively love the Lord and our neighbors. Seek the Lord, seek the lost through local evangelism, church planting, and global missions. Now, as we revisit the statement this September and October, and we're going to talk about loving the Lord and our neighbors, that part of the statement. Specifically, we'll be using the Ten Commandments to learn how to practically love the Lord God. Because the first four commandments have to do with our love for our Lord God. And then the rest of the Ten Commandments, from the fifth commandment onward to the tenth commandment, all these six commandments have to do with loving our neighbors in tangible ways. So we'll begin that series next Sunday on the Ten Commandments. But before we go to this series on the Ten Commandments, today let me start off by drawing your attention to the word that can be neglected. I'm referring to the word actively. If you look at the word actively, you understand it implies taking initiative. Taking initiative makes a big difference as we try to carry out our mission and vision statement. I thought of the experience of two teenagers, and one day both high schoolers, attended, you know, a youth group activity Friday night for the very first time. And then after that meeting, the first youth said to his friend, on their way back to their homes, the first youth said to the other youth, I feel very upset because today, you know, we were first-timers to the youth group, and no one talked to us. No one talked to me for the entire evening. But I'm going to try out again next week, next Friday night. I'm going to try out again. If nobody talks to me again, then I will not come back to this youth group. And then youth B said this: well, I'm going to come back next week, but if nobody talks to me, I'm going to initiate a conversation with someone. Now, you understand there's a vast difference between two responses. Two teenagers, one scenario, two very different responses. The difference is one word: initiative. Taking initiative can make all the differences. The same principle applies to our mission and vision statement. If the majority of us do not take initiative in loving God and people, we cannot really make a difference in reaching maximum numbers of lost and making maximum numbers of disciples for God's kingdom. For this reason, as we revisit our statement this year, let us start off by learning from Nehemiah's examples on taking initiatives. I'm going to draw your attention to the first two chapters of the book. And from the first two chapters of the book of Nehemiah, you can see many examples on Nehemiah's initiatives. He took a lot of initiatives. To be specific, number one, he took initiative to inquire about the needs of others. He also took initiative to pray, to seize the opportunity. And then number four, he also took initiative to ask for specific help. He took initiative to get the facts. He took initiative to tell of God's wonderful work. Is it working? All right. Better? Okay. Now let me know if... Not really, huh? Never mind. Thank you. Time will not allow me to go through each one of these. So today, let me just highlight number one, number two, and number six. Take initiative to inquire about the needs of others. Take initiative to pray. Take initiative to tell of God's wonderful work. First of all, take initiative to inquire about the needs of others. Verse 2 says that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. The word asked can be translated as asking earnestly or begging in the Hebrew language. Now you have to understand, this is not casual type of inquiry. He was begging earnestly. He was begging earnestly. He was eager to find out, you know, more about what's going on in Jerusalem. Nehemiah was inquiring earnestly, not for his own interest, but in consideration of the needs of people who lived afar. Now, how far is the capital, or was the capital of Persia from Jerusalem? If you look at a map here, you understand it's quite far away from Persia's capital to Jerusalem. The distance between Susa and the capital of Persia, between Susa and Jerusalem was 800 miles. So Nehemiah, he traveled long journey. And you have to understand, Nehemiah was most likely born and raised in Persia. And the Old Testament scholars even suggest that quite likely Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem before, prior to this point. So with that in mind, when we look at, you know, the way how he asked earnestly about what's going on in Jerusalem, we understand this is the background. Today's equivalent would be like a California-born Chinese who has never been in the East Coast, inquiring earnestly about the welfare of new Chinese immigrants in Rhode Island in the East Coast. It is just not commonly seen. And yet Nehemiah could do that because of his love for God and God's people. Had he not taken such an initiative, there would be no rebuilding of the city wall, and the entire book of Nehemiah would have stopped at Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2. Number two, he took initiative to pray. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Keep in mind that Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king, his duty was to eat from the good food and drink from the good wine before it was offered to the king. Now the king, in order to protect his safety, he had to rely on the cupbearer. Who knows if someone has put poison into the drink, into the wine or the food. So that's why cupbearer, had to do this, had to eat and drink before the king did. Now, with that in mind, he would look a little suspicious in the eyes of the king if he stopped eating and drinking in order to fast. We don't know how Nehemiah explained his fasting to the king, but apparently he did. He took initiative to fast and pray on his own. Now, other than that, the prayer Nehemiah made throughout the book were all the prayers he made throughout the book were self-initiated prayers. Other than this prayer, there are 8 other prayers in the book of Nehemiah. What were the backgrounds? In chapter 2, verse 4, there was a prayer right there. He was taking a risk before the king. Chapter 4, verse 4, they were discouraged by an enemy. 4:9, enemies conspire to cause a disturbance. 5:19, the rich people took advantage of the poor. 6:9, they were frightened by enemies. 6:14, frightened by religious leaders. 13:14, God's house was defiled. 13:29-31, priests did not do their duties. The priests were just a mess, and they did not do their duties. They did not have good testimony. Every time when Nehemiah faced challenge or crisis, he took initiative to pray. I was particularly impressed by the collective prayers recorded in chapter 4, verse 4, and chapter 4, verse 9. These two, I call them collective prayers. They were collective prayers rather than individual prayers because the pronouns were in plural in these verses. Now keep in mind, Nehemiah was not a clergy. He was just a layman. Taking initiative to call people to pray was supposed to be the job of the prophets and priests. And yet Nehemiah was not shy from calling God's people to pray. What were the results of his self-initiated prayers? Every prayer was answered. Look at the results. The king granted Nehemiah's request. The builders of the city wall could still focus on the project. Distractions could not mean a thing. They were able to focus on the project. And enemies stopped coming. And then, the rich people took advantage of the poor, but then it came to a stop. They stopped taking advantage of the poor. The enemies lost their confidence. Yes, before religious leaders, they also, frightened all these construction workers. But the religious leaders could not stop the project. Yes, God's house was defiled, but result, God's house was cleaned up. And then, the priests had problems. They did not do their job. They did not do their duties. But in chapter 13, we see these priests, they did their duties again. Now, when we look at these results, we have to say, praise the Lord for Nehemiah's prayer. And his prayer was self-initiated. He was a layman. He was not waiting for the priests to give him instruction to pray. Sometimes we, as Christians, we depend too much on the clergy. Well, if the pastors do not initiate prayer, then I won't. I won't initiate to pray and fast. But look at Nehemiah. It was different. And it meant a lot to the rebuilding of the city wall. Third, he took initiative to tell of God's wonderful work. Chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. Notice the words in red. I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which he has spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. Here we see Nehemiah took initiative to share with the people in Jerusalem how God amazingly opened the way and provided the resources for the building project. The result, many were motivated to participate in this building project. He just told them what he had experienced firsthand. He gave them testimony. He shared his personal testimony with these people in Jerusalem. Please notice that the desolate condition of the city wall was not new to the Jewish people who lived there. The wall had been ruined for years. According to Old Testament historians, over the last 90-some years before Nehemiah's arrival to Jerusalem, people had already attempted to rebuild the city wall twice, but without success. Therefore, the overall feeling of the local residents about rebuilding the city wall was generally negative. But people changed, according to the text on the screen, but people changed 180 degrees. People changed and felt motivated to participate in this project after they heard of Nehemiah's personal testimony of God's amazing work. Let us not underestimate the importance of taking initiative to tell of our personal experience of God's wonderful work. Oftentimes, God can use our testimony to motivate people to do what God has called them to do. Our India team would be a good example. Why did Deacon Donald organize a team to India? It was because he heard from his colleagues from work. He heard from his colleagues' personal testimony about God's wonderful work in India. This colleague went to India for short-term missions, and he has experienced tremendous acts of God. Thousands and thousands of people have come to know Jesus in the recent years. Initially, the India team members were mostly English-speaking, but in subsequent years, Chinese-speaking sisters also joined the team. By the way, just last Sunday, another Chinese-speaking brother told me that he is considering seriously about joining the team this year. He has never been to India. Why is he interested in joining the team this year? For the same reason, because he has heard the wonderful acts of God from the personal testimonies of our India team. This morning, as we briefly look at Nehemiah's examples on taking initiative, let us be reminded that taking initiative will make a difference indeed. For this reason, let's think together on the application. Let me use the examples of Nehemiah this morning to suggest a few applications for you to consider. Number one, take initiative to inquire about the needs of others. Read church prayer request bulletin and be inquisitive about the requests listed there. Every month, usually the fourth Sunday of the month, we insert the church prayer bulletin into our Sunday program. Do not trash this important piece of information. Read through the entire prayer request list. And there are lists that you need perhaps to inquire a little more. For example, this last Wednesday, in our prayer request, we have this need concerning our parking ministries. You understand that there are two words here, the third line here, in urgent need of new parking staff. Why is it so urgent? Why is it so urgent? Because out of the three key personnel, one of them has stepped down. Another one has withdrawn because he has become more involved at SGV Church Plan as deacon candidate. The third brother is suffering from knee surgery and now he has to walk with a cane. And as you hear this, I trust that we can have the same attitude as we read the request from the prayer list bulletin. As we inquire more, let's follow the example of Nehemiah. Take initiative to inquire about the needs of others. Secondly, we are to take initiative to pray. We are to take initiative to pray. Take initiative to pray at home, work, or at church. If you know of any urgent need, initiate fast and prayer on your own, and you don't have to wait for someone to initiate. If you want to pray for the church, take initiative to come down to church prayer meeting Wednesday night instead of waiting for someone to invite you. Now, remember the time when I taught VBS many years ago. I remember teaching second graders VBS. I remember vividly the picture. From time to time, I ask kids, does any one of you want to volunteer to pray? You know how they reacted? They all raised their hands. I do. Uncle Benny, I want to pray. But then after the VBS that week, I remember vividly, I went back to my adult Sunday school class. I asked, can someone volunteer to lead us in a word of prayer today? It was a dead silence for a long time. I cannot help but asking myself, why there is such a difference? The problem with us is, the longer we have become Christians, the less initiative we take as far as prayer. You don't have to wait to be called. If you really love God, you love Him with initiative. You don't have to be told to make phone call to God. You take initiative to call Him whenever it's possible. I have a lot of interaction with Chinese congregation. From time to time, we go to a restaurant, have, you know, fellowship over lunch table and whatnot. Same thing happened. I said, can one of us lead us a word of grace? It was a dead silence. I thought to myself, perhaps I should ask the follow-up question. Let's ask the person who is willing to pick up the tab to pray. No one responded, of course. But the point is simply, you know, this is so common among those of us who have been Christians for a long time. Can we take initiative to pray at home, at work, at church? Take initiative to learn more about prayer. Once every few years, we have prayer conference to equip ourselves in the area of prayer. In 2016, coming March, we're going to spend a weekend together to learn about prayer. We'll have a wonderful speaker. He will challenge us, he will teach us and educate us in the area of prayer. So pencil in, put it down on your calendar, March 5th and 6th. We're going to learn together. You don't need to be invited. You take initiative to come and learn more about prayer. And then the third, take initiative to tell of God's wonderful work. Make it as a habit to testify God's work in your own life. Over a meal or something, do not stop telling others. When we do that, you can expect wonderful things happen, like Nehemiah experienced many years ago. He just told the story as is. He told them what happened to him, how God opened the way before the king and everything, and how God provided all the resources for this building project. And it was a God thing. It was not, you know, manufactured by human hands. Everything, every step was God's wonderful intervention and providence. Just tell the story as is. And God will, oftentimes he will use it to motivate people to do what God has called them to do. Taking initiative does make a difference. Let me close with this testimony. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you, we have a special need education class. I told you this story, if you remember. Students there, and the Lord has added more students to this class. And I also told you the story about Karen. And this little girl, lovely girl, how she became instrumental in bringing her aunt to church. And subsequently, her aunt gave her heart to Jesus and got rid of her idols. We heard this wonderful story 2 weeks ago. Today, let me share with you a little bit more about how this special education class got started. If I were to draw a flow chart would look like this. One day, one of our Chinese-speaking youth took initiative to bring her brother to YF. She is a wonderful kid in high school, junior high, but she loves her older brother. This older brother happens to be a student of special education. And she brought him to church, specifically to YF. And then she also brought him to Sunday. But then Sunday, as you know, we, all these years, all these 60 years of FCBC history, we never had a special education class. What do we do? And then James, Uncle James, took initiative because he was one of the key leaders of our YF group. Uncle James took initiative to talk to Alice. Why did he talk to Alice? Because Alice has a son who is in special education. And her son has been attending special education class outside of FCBC. So she is experienced as a mother. She is experienced in taking care of the need of special need children. And then you know what happened to Alice? Alice took initiative to share with Women's Fellowship, our English-speaking Women's Fellowship. And then thank God for Mrs. Becky Tomokio, who was the head of the group. And Sister Becky initiated to pray for the need. She initiated to pray. And then they did pray for a year. Not just 1 week, but for a year. And then a year later, a sister from the same group, Women's Fellowship, another sister took initiative to introduce a sister by the name of Sandra to Alice. I believe Sandra is in this congregation. And Sandra has professional training in special ed. She also has a passion, a deep passion for the kids who have this particular need. So a sister introduced Sandra to Alice. And then more people took initiative to advocate the needs. And then subsequently, two teachers were secured. One responsible for the 9 o'clock session, another one for the second session. Specifically, Sandra is responsible for first session, and Alice responsible for the second session. And then the result, number one, able to provide special need education Sunday school class for both sessions. And then each session has, on average, any Sunday, on average, each session has 5 volunteers or more. And first and foremost, that we need to thank God for is number 3. Well received by the parents from Chinatown. I have parents who have talked to me, Pastor, this is a good thing that the church can serve us. This is a tangible way that church in Chinatown can serve us. And well received by the parents from this community. Earlier I mentioned that this class has doubled in the last 3 to 4 months. And the reason why this got doubled within the last several months has to do with the parents in this community. It was by word of mouth. We didn't know that we have that many families who are in need of this special ed Sunday school class. And the reason why the number was double in the last several months is because of word of mouth from this community. All these new students are from Chinatown community. This is another vivid example to show the power of taking initiative. Take initiative. We will make a difference by the grace of God as we try to carry out the mission and vision statement. Taking initiative will make a difference. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we will follow the examples of Nehemiah. Help us to take initiative in every level of our church life and personal life to glorify your name, to further your kingdom. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? If you need to be prayed for, if you need intercessors to pray for you, please come up after benediction, and our intercessors would love to pray for you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Let's be dismissed.